on today's episode of the Law of Tech podcast.
We wanted to run before we could walk. And so we had to take a couple of steps back, and we have all these massive, massive goals. And then you have to realize that actually you've got to, you know, do all these steps and, you know, there's all this other stuff you need to do before you can reach that point. And then you have to deal with people that are like we were just saying, maybe uneducated about AI or scared of AI. And you obviously have change transformation that people either don't understand or aren't prepared for. So you have to bring them on this journey with you, which helps, you know, develop your patience, I think, with people and the process. You know, you can't just go, oh, here's a product, buy it. Wonderful. Great. Do you know what I mean? I now kind of better understand, you know, how, you know, customers and clients view their kind of AI digital transformation journey, which is it's a really, really big deal. You know, you can't just go, oh, I'm going to go buy some AI. You know, it's not like buying pens. You know, it's not even just like buying a software license. It's you know, I don't want to overhype AI, but you know, it's a bigger process conceptually for a business than that.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Law of Tech podcast, kicking off our season 4 already. We are very excited to have Magdalena Koenig on our second episode of this series. Magda is the Legal Governance and Compliance Counsel at AIQ in the United Arab Emirates. I want to welcome you, Magda, and I want to say hi, of course, also to my co-host, Marco, who is joining on the show.
Hello, Adessa. How are you? And hey, nice to have you, Magda.
Thank you so much. Thank you for such a warm welcome. And it's great to be here.
Thank you so much. I think it's really exciting because the topic that we'll be discussing today is cross-jurisdictional collaboration when it comes down to AI regulation. I mean, the topic of AI regulation is massive right now. I think we hear it pretty much every single day, several times a day. But mostly, the focus is very regional, right? So we're talking about the European Union. We're talking about the United States with their executive orders. We're talking about the UK. We're talking, honestly, every single country in the entire globe already has like their own form of AI policy, like national AI strategy. Really excited to talk to you because you have a unique perspective, very closely connected to all these, you know, massive developments in AI regulation, but coming from a region in which these developments, I think, are really booming right now. And the question is, of course, what are your thoughts on that? So before we get into the juicy parts of the episode, can you share with us your role at AIQ, what you do, and what your day-to-day looks like in terms of legal governance and regulation?
Absolutely. Oh my God, we're going to put the listeners to sleep already. My gosh. So, so I'm the general counsel for a business called AIQ, and we're a really interesting business, first of the kind in this region. We're a joint venture between ADNOC, which is the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, so the National Oil Company of the UAE, and another kind of nationally owned supercomputing business called Group 42. So the idea when we were formed is that we would come together, bring supercomputing capacity, data engineers, software engineers, data scientists together from Group 42 with oil and gas and energy sector data to develop and then commercialize artificial intelligence solutions for the energy sector. And so because we kind of sit in that landscape between kind of two kind of powerhouses and two kind of government entities, we have a really interesting perspective on one, what's going on in the region. So we're based in Abu Dhabi, so in the UAE, which is part of the GCC, the Gulf Cooperation. And we see so much activity in this space in the UAE and out of Saudi in particular at the moment. It's a really exciting place to be. And like you say, you know, blink and something else has changed. So, but my day to day is very much like that as well. I'm very kind of tied into what the regulators here are talking about or thinking about. But you know, you have to keep your ear to the ground because it changes so quickly. For example, we have free zones, what's called free free zones in Abu Dhabi and in Dubai. And the DIFC in Dubai has announced a new regulation as part of their data protection regulation that's going to look at autonomous systems. So they are looking at, you know, their regulatory capacity in relation to AI systems. So that's really cool, really interesting. And I'm even when this podcast comes out, it's going to be announced that I'm going to be on their advisory committee advising on that piece of regulation, which is really exciting.
That's the right time then, Magda. That's the perfect
time. Exactly. But in my day-to-day world, so yeah, I'm the head of the legal governance and compliance department. So, you know, I'm engaging with the board, the shareholders, the C-suite level. I am looking at how we comply with laws, whether that's in relation to AI, data, sometimes shipping. You know, it really depends on what it is that our particular product is doing. And, you know, legal. So I also do the really cool, sexy stuff like reviewing contracts. So, yeah.
I think Marco could definitely agree with the contract reviewing.
Yeah, indeed. You know me too well.
Thanks so much for the introduction. I think also the space that you're working in, right, this sustainability space is super cool. And when it comes to the impact of, I think, these new technologies from more an environmental context, I think we tend to forget that that's also something
that
we are 100% like looking at right now, and maybe even more so. Yeah, please like share more about that, because I think it's a fascinating industry.
Well, you've got kind of two aspects or two things to look at here, because you've got obviously environmentalists who are looking at, you know, the amount of energy that it uses or that we use to, for example, train, you know, massive models, you know, servers utilizing, you know, various energy needing to be cooled. So you have that, you know, that angle. But something that we do, so our products look at how we can look at sustainability. So we have a product called Emission X, for example, and we are looking at so many use cases across the energy, you know, supply chain and the whole value chain, in fact, in terms of how we can measure, monitor, adapt, you know, emissions, you know, methane detection. You know, there's so much potential for AI to kind of optimize and reduce emissions and work towards what so many countries are doing at the moment in terms of their optimization and working towards net zero. So we already have some products in our portfolio, but there's definitely going to be more, because there's so much we can do in this space. And like you say, we've got some great advocates here. You know, ADNOC's CEO was the president of COP28, which just took place in Dubai, and he's heavily engaged in you know, what this country generally is doing, which has been a really, you know, fossil fuel heavy country for a long time. So we're looking very closely at how we diversify and how we look to more sustainable routes to, you know, fueling the country and what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, the technologies that you're building, I think that the place that you're in, the experience, the expertise of the people that are working in Abu Dhabi, but also the experience they have within the region will not only be key for the region itself, but also outside.
Well, yeah. No, talking about, you know, collaboration and inter-jurisdictional collaboration, AIQ is actually a really interesting, I guess, case study, because the UAE in particular, we have so many nationalities working together really, really seamlessly. And in AIQ, I think we have over 27 nationalities, you know, in our relatively, you know, small company by kind of like tech giant scales. And I think that's a really interesting point you make in terms of how, you know, technology can kind of bring people together in that way.
I would love to know from you, in what sense does, you know, this regulatory landscape that we're looking at right now facilitate or maybe like make it a little or challenge that maybe?
I think it's really challenging being in this space at the moment. I mean, it's really exciting. I'll definitely say that. But you have so many diverse regulatory systems already. You know, even if you look at data protection, for example, which, you know, has a massive role to play, and people are looking to utilize existing data protection regulation in the AI space. You know, for some jurisdictions that are saying they don't want a new AI law immediately, we already have such kind of diverse regulatory landscapes that businesses are trying to navigate. So it is really challenging, especially when you have a global business, or, you know, like me, if my internal customer comes to me and says, I've got this opportunity in XYZ, and you're like, oh my gosh, what is going, where do I start, you know? But it's not just that, because your businesses, and especially in this space at the moment, you're advancing so fast, you know, and I talk about my internal customers coming to me, you've got one opportunity here, you've got one opportunity there, and the technology, and you can just see it in the news, it's moving so quickly. How do you even, you know, keep up? That's another kind of a challenge that you have.
Just to make things more complicated, that's the usual me. Now, I have a question for Magda. Before we kind of jump into the tech, I want to try to zoom out and asking you about the cultural factor into the AI implementation, or specifically from your point of view, because you are your business is based in the Middle East. As you said before, you have 27 different nationalities, and so potentially cultures involved, for sure more than 10. As you know, the technology is built by its own people. So somehow cultural backgrounds or even biases or positives, it's not always about the negatives. There's a balance. They influence the end product, right? So to narrow down my question and trying to make it less complicated is, based on your experience and your current role here, can you give us a couple of real examples, literally day-to-day learnings that you got into, wow, there's a big kind of cultural clash in how to implement or develop this piece of tech. How do you address this kind of potential frictions or differences?
Do you know, I think it's actually really basic, and it's not just in relation to technology. I think when you have people from different cultures that are speaking different languages, it's not that they're speaking different languages, but you often find that they are speaking in a different manner. You know, it's not that they're speaking German and French, but they're speaking different languages or in a different way. So I often find that when you're working on AI projects, which so often have to be so collaborative, especially if you're doing like a POC or a pilot, you have to align on what you mean when you say XYZ. So you can definitely see not issues, but you can see how you could easily get to issues, because people just aren't speaking, when I say they're not speaking the same language, they're technically not, because they come from different places in the world. They're coming at things from different angles as well. And I also think there's different importances placed in different cultures on different aspects of service delivery. So obviously a customer is king, but how you get to customer is king, and how you approach that in different cultures, it will be really, really different. So just the values and ethics that people have from their cultural backgrounds are brought into the style of how they work and work with each other. I mean, what I will say is that you do end up having these really diverse, interesting debates, conversations. You know, we're really lucky in that we've got quite a high proportion of females working in our technology team, which I think is fantastic, as well as the cultural diversity. And it makes for these really broad conversations that, you know, allow you to have different perspectives built into your development process.
You made it extremely simple. So that's no. It's indeed, there are multiple variables.
I think I find that when you have really clear, I'm going to sound really boring here, when you have really clear processes and policies, and things are written down and they are clear, and people know where to find them when they don't know something, that, I mean, it's, again, that sounds so, so simple, but people, it's very easy, and I know this, I'm like this, you know, when you don't know how something works, works, or it doesn't work as you expected, and you can't find the answer, it's really frustrating. But if you give people a roadmap to navigate or find the answer, so for example, we put people together in certain rooms to facilitate collaborative decision making. We have various committees that make collective decisions on XYZ, and there's a terms of reference for that committee, and it's really clear what authority that committee has, and then what those decisions, where those decisions of that authority, oh, sorry, of that committee will go. So I think giving that clarity to people, it with structure, it sounds like such a lawyerly thing to say, but it's really, really helpful. And so having that kind of governance piece, will breed a culture that facilitates, I guess, a compliance by design culture. Does that make
I have
sense?
heard
Which is
something
what
interesting. Compliance by design is something that we really need to dig in now.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, that's what we try and do here. So I mean, if we take it back to the AI regulation piece, what we're looking to do is how we can have those policies and procedures that guide behavior, like from an initial, I'm talking about a POC, I've got like an idea for something, straight at the beginning of the value chain. What are the ethical considerations there? How can we, self-regulate what we're doing, how we're making every decision with like we kind of look at it with a kind of an ESG tinted view, you know what I mean? So it's not just one thing either, because I think that the ethics and the role that AI governance plays, has a bigger role in our society and in what we need to be thinking about in company governance.
Most of these frameworks tend to look at AI governance from the perspective of creating a culture of, risk management. Like, so what at least I understand of it is, they're trying to build in these this idea of, we need to account for the risks of artificial intelligence from the very beginning. And you said you want this kind of compliance by design approach. Where do you see us standing right now in terms of like these global initiatives? Is that where we are heading? And if maybe not quite, what can we do to maybe, from the regulatory perspective or in practice, like when actually implementing these frameworks, what can we do to get that compliance by design?
So self-regulation, I think right now is really, really important, because we have such a piecemeal approach kind of globally. We don't have that global cooperation. Yes, okay, we have the EU AI Act, but it's at least 24 months before that's enforceable all over the place. So I mean, what do we do between now and then? We have to look to big tech, small tech. You have to look to the people producing this technology, using this technology to a degree, abide by industry standards. And we've seen a little bit of, commitment. Obviously, you had big tech in America agree their agreement with the White House. But I see it as really, really pivotal in this timeline, whilst governments are assessing the feasibility, if you will, or even if they want to move into the hard law space. But that can be really challenging, and it's difficult to know how much we can trust this kind of self-regulation piece, because if when you look at people like the probably one of the world's most famous men at the moment, Sam Altman, when he's talking publicly, he can be very easily criticized for what he's saying as being quite self-serving for his own agenda, and it is also very difficult to think about how much these private companies, especially the tech giants, are influencing the direction of the government regulations. I think something that's really, really interesting that the UAE government has done is actually they offer one, they offer kind of free AI training to everybody. You get a text message, and if you reply back, you get free AI related training. And they've also sent over 400 ministers of this country to have specific training at, I think it's part of the University of Oxford. It's not like 2 hours, like, you know, oh, this is AI. It's like a specific course at a prestigious university. So the people making the laws understand fundamentally how the technology works, the benefits of the technology, the risks, the challenges. And when the UAE's AI minister was recently talking, he was like, it's funny how when you have people that are educated in that way versus people that maybe are less averse to the or less versed, sorry, in the technology, they have more of an optimism towards the technology itself. So, sorry, I've gone around the houses a little bit, but yes, I think self-regulation is very important.
Music to my ears, Magda, because and now I'm going to jump with my, how many questions are we making, Adassa, today? Probably too many, but we want to take the most of it.
I mean, firing the
Magda. Because Magda has a very particular way of, let's say, describing different factors together, which to me is very fascinating. I'm like I really much like to connect different dots. So following this line, there's something I really wanted to stress out. So first of all, well, I think in the Western world, we don't know enough of what's happening in other places, which is something that I'm not very happy with. Because if you need to actually understand what's going on, for example, in the Middle East or in Asia or even in Australia or South America, you really need to dig in. You really need to do your research well. Otherwise, you won't get exposed to that, which is a bit of a pity. So I would really like to expand a bit more on being you there, living and working. So I'm going to ask you a question. But before that, it's more like understanding the kind of democratization of the technology itself. So there's always that clash between the necessary governance and playing within in a game with some rules, because otherwise it's going to be very messy. But at the same time, as you said, we are teaching where I'm working, we are teaching people how to understand and educate the people to understand the technology. So rather than being driven by hypes or fear, they're going to try their best to find a balanced, at least informed approach. So it's really a question of culture, like a digital transformation process. So what would you say in your experience, coming you from the UK, if I'm not wrong, professionally speaking, now that you have been there and you've tested yourself in this environment quite enough, what's your biggest lesson? What have you learned in your way of working, especially with digital transformation and AI? What's the gift that professional experience has given to you so far?
Ooh, what a question. I would say probably two things. One is probably patience, and the other is opportunity. So I'll take the second. I'll take opportunity first. You know, what I think is fantastic about this region in particular, and it's not just the UAE, but this region in particular, is their leaders are really forward focused. You know, they're a really new country, and I think sometimes they feel like they have a lot to prove, but they have the backing of their leadership. They have these really, I guess, futuristic plans. You know, do you just look around the Dubai and the Abu Dhabi skyline and think, how did they build that, you know, in like 2 years? You know, it's crazy. But they have all these types of mega projects and all these types of, you would think, like inconceivable projects, especially for such a young country. Yeah. And they achieve them because they have a vision and they execute. So from my perspective, being part of that ecosystem has given me opportunities I don't think I'd have had anywhere else, because of that kind of encouragement from certain leadership individuals in this country that are driving this digital transformation and wanting to become a leader in this space, which is just really exciting to be part of. And I think I'd probably say patience, because when you're going through, you know, the stages of establishing a business. So I was part of the team that put our business together from scratch. I was part of the team that put the JV together. You know, so I was the first employee. So we have had to, you know, we wanted to run before we could walk. And so we had to take a couple of steps back, and we have all these massive, massive goals. And then you have to realize that actually you've got to, you know, do all these steps, and you know, there's all this other stuff you need to do before you can reach that point. And then you have to deal with people that are like we were just saying, maybe uneducated about AI or scared of AI. And you obviously have change transformation that people either don't understand or aren't prepared for. So you have to bring them on this journey with you, which helps, you know, develop your patience, I think, with people and the process. You know, you can't just go, oh, here's a product, buy it. Wonderful. Great. Do you know what I mean? I now kind of better understand, you know, how, you know, customers and clients view their kind of AI digital transformation journey, which is it's a really, really big deal. You know, you can't just go, oh, I'm going to go and buy some AI. You know, it's not like buying pens. You know, it's not even just like buying a software license. It's you know, I don't want to overhype AI, but you know, it's a bigger process conceptually for a business than that.
Culture plays a massive role in this. And just before, when we were talking about, you know, the team, like what nationalities it's made up of, you know, what disciplinary differences there are. Mm-hmm. So culture plays a big role. It can be challenging, but it can also, like you just mentioned, you know, the word opportunity. It can also offer a lot of opportunity and insights that allow you to move forward in a way that is more comprehensive, taking into consideration all the different aspects that allow for the responsible development, deployment, use of AI technologies, which, as you said, is not like, you know, 1, 2, 3, let's just go with it and roll with it situation. But maybe moving to like this utopic idea of bringing all of these cultures together. And when we look at AI governance, create something, because AI at the end of the day is like a global development, opportunity, challenge, whatever you want to call it. Like, exactly. We're all dealing with it across borders. So jurisdictions really don't, you know, the value of a jurisdiction is not that relevant anymore, other than the fact that we are trying to regulate based on jurisdiction. But when we look at this utopic kind of like idea of creating an AI governance framework, AI governance methods, rules, regulations that span the entire globe in all countries, is that something that we should see as realistic from your point of view? Should we want that? Why should we want that? Shouldn't we? Where should we be heading with this discussion?
Well, I guess I'd pose another question back at you. Do we have that for anything else?
That's a good question.
Okay, yeah, we have, and we've seen the similarities drawn between the agencies that regulate nuclear weapons. But I think maybe one of the reasons we don't have that for other, you know, industries is that the challenges, I think, are immense. I mean, we've seen some work, and we do have some organizations like the, you know, the G7 have worked towards, you know, their 11 principles of, you know, AI harmonization, the OECD, you know, you have some organizations that are working towards, you know, general principles across the world. Do I think we can get to a point where we have one regulatory body across the world? Probably not. And I think one of the main reasons at the moment is that we just have this, and I don't want to go back to the point of cultural, but I just don't think that you will geopolitically get some of the big players, I won't name names,
of course,
in the world to agree on, I think, even just basic concepts. Because if you look at, if I say the East versus the West, just as a broad overview, you have such a different style of what, you know, the importance of AI regulation would be. You know, are you talking about social control? Are you talking about personal autonomy? So I think you just have these really fundamental differences, number one, that play into, you know, the geopolitical landscape. So I think it would be very, very doubtful that we see one standalone, you know, international body. Do I think that we'll have pockets of cooperation? Absolutely. I mean, even just the EU AI Act is cooperation between the EU member states, you know, which is, you know, the EU is massive, and you know, which is fantastic. So, yes, I think there will be cooperation on a, you know, absolute global level. Probably not.
I think we're heading towards the wrap up of the episode. Now, I know, Marco, I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot right now, but we usually, do like a fancy wrap up.
Okay.
Do you want,
no,
do you
no,
want
I
to
think
go at
the
it?
The honor is yours this time. The honor is yours.
Back to fancy wrap up.
Yeah, so the fancy wrap up is going to be on you.
Yeah.
So I think you probably know what's the rule. Probably you should explain to Magda what's the rule of the. The law of tech rule for the end.
The law of tech rule of the end. Yes. So now what we do at the end of our law of tech episodes is ask our guest to ask a question. What is a topic? What is a question based on your experience, based on your work, a challenge that you are facing? What question, based on that, would you want to ask if we could find an expert in the field to answer that, to help you out to you know, overcome that challenge or seize an opportunity even?
I think I want to ask him about mediating.
About mediating?
Yeah, I think it because in so many of our projects, we have so many different stakeholders. Sorry, this isn't an AI specific question, but you have so many different stakeholders with different objectives. So we often find that when we're looking at our projects, you could end up with delays because you have what I'm going to call, this is like our favorite word, misalignment. Misalignment happens all day, every day. So I want to know how you can mediate or facilitate alignment in terms of project management. That's a magical skill, I think, that I need. You know, alignment in project management.
That's us, Magda. You need to call us. That's
okay. Amazing.
So we
thank you so much.
We are here to bring
question answered. Brilliant.
This is actually a mega. It never happened at ASA that we actually had an answer to this question. Now, I mean, joking apart, no. It makes perfect sense because bringing stakeholders together and trying to speak the same language, or again, by language, not the actual language you speak, but a commonality of interests, purpose, and vision.
Yes.
It's a very hard game, and good luck and bravo the ones that are doing that well. So
we don't have an answer for you, but I think it's definitely something that we can, you know, explore to find experts. Yeah, find experts and have these discussions on this, or find another way to, you know, bring these insights. I don't know if there's a clear answer, honestly, but maybe there are some, you know, some factors that you can take into consideration, some processes, steps, some, you know, general practices that you can follow to at least increase
communication, education, you know.
Yeah, definitely starts with that. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I think one key takeaway, which I was already convinced of before we started the episode, but now even more so, is that we can learn, well, two things. A, you are extremely knowledgeable.
True.
And
I confirm.
Really, it was really nice talking to you. And thanks, Marco.
Seconded.
And secondly, I think we can learn so much from the developments that are happening in the region in which you are working right now. Because we, like Marco said, you know, we tend to just look at, oh, what's going on right now here, especially in the West. But there's so much we can learn, like in a non-degrading way. It's not like, oh,
no,
yeah.
No,
but like it
vice
really
versa,
is.
You know, absolutely, vice versa. And I think, you know, the day you stop learning is a very sad day, so...
Fully agree with you. I think there's no better way to end this episode than with that. I shouldn't even have said anything anymore. No, honestly, thank you so much. It was lovely.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank
really
you.
Enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you, Magda.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Law of Tech podcast. If you want to make sure you keep up to date with the show and never miss out on an episode, be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and follow the Law of Tech on social media. If you enjoyed the show, please give it a rating or review, as it helps others discover the show. And don't forget to share it with your network. For now, have a great day, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Law of Tech podcast. Yeah.